Hello.
Hello.
How are
Hi.
you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What are we coaching on today? Let me get comfortable.
Transitioning from work back home is kind of like I think I gain all my weight between the hours of 4 and 6 without eating dinner.
Okay, but are you just overeating between 4 and 6?
Well, I teach third grade, so I'm kind of like on all day long.
So
And
let me
then,
just say, wait, this is where
okay.
your brain's already going. Teaching third grade has nothing to do with being overweight.
Okay.
Otherwise, every third grade teacher in America would be like, nobody sign up for that job because you got to be overweight to do it.
All right.
Well, I want you to watch though what your brain is already doing. It's sitting there saying, because I'm a teacher, because I'm on all day, because I'm doing these things, this must be why I eat between 4 and 6. Here's why you eat between 4 and 6. You get home, you want to eat, and you say yes.
Yes.
All right, so go.
That's true. But I come home from work and then it's that in between time before I have to start running my own kids everywhere. And I've tried some different things. I've taken everything I've eaten one day and put it on my plan for the next day in the hopes that, and sometimes that will stop it for a day or two.
Then why do you stop doing that if it stops it for a day or two?
Well, because then I think it just stops the eating. I still might do it again. And then I actually find new foods that aren't on the plan.
Okay, so your problem isn't your job, and your problem isn't 4 to 6 o'clock, and your problem isn't what you have to do after 6 o'clock.
Okay.
I want you to like stay with me because if all of
Okay.
that's the problem, then what's got to happen is you no longer can take your kids anywhere after 6 p.m. to solve eating between 4 and 6. You've got to quit your job because you need to solve between eating between 4 and 6. Right? I mean, and if that's not going to happen, then we have to just take ownership that between 4 and 6, we have to eat what's on our plan. And we have to quit blaming all this other stuff. We have to quit. If your brain will separate that out first, like every single time you overeat, like for the next 3 weeks, when you overeat between 4 and 6 o'clock, and I mean it, it's coming. I'm gonna preach at you right now, and then Thursday, it's gonna
To
be
get the perfect,
4 o'clock, and you're gonna feel like, I want to eat.
yes, like the beginning of the week, I'm okay, and then I get to like Wednesday, Thursday is kind of when it.
And then your brain does what? It starts bitching about your day.
I think so, and I think I start getting emotionally exhausted, and rather than sitting in the emotions, I'm eating it.
And what are you feeling at 4 and 6 when you're emotionally exhausted?
I feel overwhelmed. That's what every time I've done a recovery sheet, it's come out overwhelmed.
Okay, overwhelmed with what?
Overwhelmed with what I've done all day long, like trying to be emotionally available to kids, and then overwhelmed with what I see in front of me of being there for my own kids.
And why is that overwhelming, though?
I don't know. I think it's just sometimes I feel like there's just so much there.
Like, what is that, though? When you say there's so much there, what is that?
I think trying to be in control, trying to control all the chaos around me all day long, and then coming home and controlling all the chaos of my own family.
So why is your family chaos? Why is it not
Well,
just my family?
it is. There's three kids
No,
going in
it's
three different
not.
directions.
Right, right. All right. So I want you to see, like, we're yet again. I am pointing out all of the way that you're thinking because I've got three kids and they're going three different directions. Again, if we have to get our kids to not go three different directions and stuff, you can't quit eating. This is why it's so important to see how you're just describing your life, the chaos of the day, the chaos of the evening. Is it really chaos?
No, it's me not being in control of everything all the
How
time.
are you not in control of everything? Do you,
Because
like, seriously, do the kids hold a gun to your head and say, drive me, or I'm gonna fucking
I
kill you,
no.
mom? Like, I gotta go to soccer.
No, you're right. You're right. No, they don't. I guess it's I feel the pressure to always have everything ready and ready to go. And at school, I have everything planned and I want to control all my behaviors and have the best behaved class and the best students. And I want to come home. And I was a stay-at-home mom until 3 years ago. So I think sometimes I want to make it my kids not feel that the difference between when I was a stay-at-home mom and now that I'm working full-time.
But do you see how ridiculous of an expectation that is? Like, I don't want you guys to notice I now have a job. I don't want you to feel that. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to grow up not able to feel your emotions and not like something. I want to create that there's this world out there that's so perfect that you'll never have a bad day.
Right.
Kind of like what you're going through right now.
Right.
I can never have a bad, like all my days have to be chaos now. I want to tell you one of the lies you're telling yourself is that I just want to have control. You have a lot of control. You're deciding everything you do. You're controlling every bite of food that's going in your mouth between 4 and 6. That's not a lack of control.
Yeah. I sometimes stop it midway. It seems like it's what I reach for instead of.
Yeah, because it's a habit.
Yeah.
It's not because your life is chaos.
And I don't want to cook dinner. I don't know how to fix it.
Don't cook dinner. Like, don't say I don't know how to fix that.
Right. But okay. I have to feed them.
Do you have to cook dinner to feed them?
No. And right now during a crazy sports season, it actually has been going a little better because I've been coming home and eating on the days that I don't just fog eat. I've been eating like my dinner at 4 o'clock and being done.
What if none of this is chaos and none of this is crazy sports season? What if it's sports season?
Mm-hmm.
And what if it's my life and I take my kids places?
Right.
I mean, are they like coming up with games and stuff that you're never going to know about? Like, oh, it's 4 o'clock. It's time. We're going to have a game tonight. We didn't plan it, but we're surprising everyone for happy.
No.
But I want you to think about how you're mentally exhausting yourself. You think your life is doing it, and it's the way that you explain your life to yourself. This is all chaos. This is the crazy of being a third grade teacher. This is the crazy of having 3 kids.
Yeah.
What if you had 6? Somebody sitting around with 6 kids going, fuck, bitch, you ain't got nothing to worry about.
True.
I mean, seriously. We got tribe members that got more than 5 kids right now.
True. So how do I stop it? I just stop.
I want you to take a wild guess as to how that stops.
I just stop and tell myself that I'm not eating.
Yeah. And you know what you do in that moment?
Mm-hmm.
You deal with the shitty way that you're creating the stress of your life. The only way that you'll ever start working on not deciding that your life is too chaotic and that things have to be perfect is like if food is no longer an option, then you have 2 options. You either keep thinking about the life that you have the way you do and you just get really good at dealing with stress, or you start rethinking the way you describe your life and start taking some ownership that it might not be as fucking crazy as you think it is.
No, it really probably isn't.
Yeah, like I love how you're like, I don't even know how to not cook dinner. It's like, I don't know. You just don't cook it. I mean, it doesn't sound like a complicated problem. If you don't want to cook dinner every night.
Right.
Stop at a fast food restaurant.
Right.
And get you a salad. You don't want to feed your kids. This is the thing. Because you talk about like not being in control.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to feed your kids fast food.
Right.
Then you have to decide what's important. That's not a lack of control. That's you deciding what you want for your children, deciding what you want for yourself. But I want you to like, first thing you've got to do is detach the idea that somehow the reason why you're eating between 4 and 6 is because of your life. The only reason why you're eating between 4 and 6 is because you're choosing to eat and you don't want to deal with the discomfort of not eating. That's really all that's happening.
Okay.
Now.
Well, I am legitimately hungry at 4.
So I do. You should legit eat at 4 and you should plan it and then you should eat what's on the plan and not talk yourself into some other bullshit.
Okay.
And pretend you have no control into your chaotic life causing that.
Okay.
That's called a case of that I don't want to. So what if your kids were like, what if, let's say, you paid $2,000 for them to play sports, mm-hmm. and then they didn't want to go to practice?
Right.
Would you say, oh, well, that's okay, we'll switch to another sport. I've got $2,000 more just waiting for you.
No.
Well, that's what you're doing with your food.
I can see that.
Yeah, you're paying for P&P. Mm-hmm. You're paying to learn how to lose weight. Yep. You're paying to learn how to manage your mind. And you're saying, well, I'm just paying another $59 a month so I can have a cheeseburger.
Right.
Just like your kids.
Right.
And that's the way our brain works.
Yes.
You have a fourth child.
Myself.
Yeah. It's called that part of your brain that every day at 4 o'clock is going to want to eat, because the rest of the day you've been allowing your brain to run buck wild like a child.
Okay. Of
thinking like, you know, I just want my kid. I want my third grade class to be the perfect class. I want my third grade class to do all these things. It's like, it's okay to want it, but mm-hmm. not at the expense of your personal goals.
Right.
Like, when they're not the most perfect third graders, what do you make it mean about you?
I guess that I don't have as much control in my classroom as I'd like to have, that maybe they're not going to meet the next benchmark or expectation that I have set for them, or I have set on me.
Well, let's say that they don't make those things. Then what do you think? Say all that happens.
I need to change how I'm teaching.
Okay. Well, there's no problem with that. So why is it so stressful? If it, all it is you're like, oh, it's all just a bunch of data. It's just giving me all the information I need in order to be a better teacher. Why is that chaos?
I don't know. Cause I make it chaos. I make it into more than what it really is.
That's what I'm trying to, I want you to say it out loud though. You're telling me the like legit intellectual answer.
Right.
Which is, oh, Corinne, it's just like data. I mean, come on, this is like enlightenment.
Right.
You wouldn't say your emotions were drained at the end of the day
mm-hmm.
on a Thursday and you need food in order to cope, which it's not coping. It's creating a lot of problems and chaos.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you weren't making all of that shit during the day, like every time a kid acts out and doesn't meet a benchmark and all these other things, you need to figure out, what do I make that mean as me as a teacher? Me personally.
Yeah.
Do you think it really is just data? And it's like, oh, just some kids are just dumb. They'll never make it.
No.
Or do you go ahead.
I think everything's, I hold myself to this crazy high standard of wanting to make a difference, I guess. And being afraid that I'm not doing a good enough job, or I was too mean when I tried to get them to behave, or...
Yeah. So you're using, this is why I'm asking. This is why you're emotionally drained and at 4 o'clock you're tapped. I want you to just see what the cycle is happening. During the day, you are seeking evidence that you're not good enough.
Right.
All day.
Yes.
Because when I ask you about these things that you fear,
mm-hmm.
you tell me that they mean I'm not good enough, rather than what you first said was, oh, I need to reevaluate my benchmarks and I need to do that. That's called a process problem, which is great. If all day long you stayed in the space of, this just means that I'm such a smart teacher, I'm going to figure it out.
Right.
This just means I'm giving it my all to my kids and this is going to work out just fine. Like, I'm going to figure it out. If you were in that space every day at 4 o'clock, you'd be up for the challenge of getting hungry and being like, but I'm like no longer responding to these bullshit urges because my goals are important.
Right.
Your front brain, your prefrontal cortex,
right,
is the brain that requires a lot of energy. It needs to not be coming into the game tired. What happens though, if all day long you wear yourself down with self-judgment on the inside, which is what's happening, you not doing enough work on yourself about the value and worth. And so our brain will go to work on whatever we truly believe. If you really, truly believe that you're just like working in a chaotic environment and everybody who fucks up means that somehow I'm not a good enough, then all day, every day, you are sitting around finding evidence of how wrong you are, and how out of control this is, and how out of control is. It won't matter how many plans you put into place. None of that will ever matter. Then by Thursday, after the weekend and you've rested, yeah, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you're probably doing just fine.
Yeah.
Thursday, it's like, oh my God, I've been sitting there getting tapped all day long about how not good enough I am. So yes. When you come home, your habit brain says, she ain't got no emotional bandwidth left. Let's shut down the reasoning brain because it will not argue for you. The reasoning brain, the front part of your brain, its right. job is to argue for you when your backside of the brain, the habit brain, eats a donut every afternoon.
Right.
It doesn't know like you have goals. It just knows what you've been doing. The only thing your habit brain knows is what the recent experience is. That's it.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And to get back into teaching from staying home took a lot of interviews and getting a lot of rejection. I think I'm still probably holding some of it, even though I'm in a classroom now and have been for 2 years. That
yeah, I would just probably be like, you know what?
I mean, that's
a job. We're kind of done.
I have a job and I'm good at it. I'm good at my job. I know that. But you're right. I would just
be like, all that rejection was for a purpose to show me now that it's time to let go of some self-judgment. Yeah, that's the purpose of all that rejection now.
Yes. That makes sense.
I want you to do more work on watching how you're describing your life at all times, especially out loud. When you rewatch the video,
mm-hmm.
I want you to listen to how you started describing it all in the beginning.
Okay.
And you will be really crystal clear on why you feel so tired by the end of the week and can't follow a plan.
Okay.
That description sounded like shit. I'm just going to tell you, I would not want your life for any reason. Like, I'd be like, oh my God, she's living like in hell. I should never go there.
I'm really not. I have a fabulous life, actually.
And that is what's so funny. It's like, we have these amazing lives, but if we're determined, we're fucked up. We're going to fuck up the description of it.
You're right. Because, yeah, I really do have. I know I have a life that other people envy.
Yeah.
And the fact that I described it that way, I think, says a lot.
Yeah. And we all do it. That's one of the reasons why it's so important we do all this work, that we do all these thought downloads and stuff. But I want to say, because a lot of people are like right in your pool. They're like, oh, my God, this is like my coaching call. Like, I need to hear all this. When you are overeating every single day at the same time, whether it's from 4 to 6 or it's 8 to 10, all because of how stressed and whatnot you are, the two big things that have to happen, number one, you can't afford to not ever have a plan.
Okay.
Your brain, that front part, is going to be shut down.
And you're right, because on the weekends, I have a protocol that's different than during the week, and I don't even know what time of day it is, and I never eat during that time. I mean, not that my weekends are perfect, but I don't fall into that trap at all in the weekend, so it isn't really that time of day.
It's because the front part of your brain, where all your goals and your higher self and what you want best for you, it resides there. But it's also, we're actually going to cover a lot of this next month when we talk about urges and buffering. But what happens is that your habit center part of the brain, the lower brain, the one that like is like, I just want a donut, just want to scroll some Facebook, I want to waste time, whatever.
Yes.
It also controls your heart rate, your lungs, like vital organ functions. So okay. When you are tired from overthinking and being hard on yourself, and then plus just, you know, normal, just going to work and all this other junk, your habit brain, that is the part that says we got to start shutting down the non-essential things in the body. One of the things that gets shut down is the reasoning brain. It's just like, look, we got you on lock. I'm going to keep your heart going. I'm going to keep your lungs going. And I'm going to make sure that you crave a donut. Like, because they're all lumped in together.
Yeah,
you know?
It totally makes sense. Exactly what I do.
That's why it's so important for you guys to always have that plan. So that when your habit, like when you're tired, at your most tired, a realistic plan is there for you to easily look at and give yourself at least 50% chance of doing what the higher self wanted to do all along.
Like, there are some days that I go back and I did eat all of my junk, was on my plan.
So yes.
Days make me feel better. Like, at least I was successful. I kept all of the junk.
Exactly.
On my plan.
And the other part is you have to separate out. Everyone needs to collectively quit blaming their life, and their description of their life and stuff on why they eat. We all have to just be like, you know what? I get a desire to eat and I do that. That is why I'm overweight. That is why I'm not losing weight. That is why this is not working. It is simply because I keep choosing to eat. It is not because of anything else, because your call is so good, because we parcel out like, well, are you just going to, you know, give up your kids at night? Are you just going to give up your job? Because if that's the reason you're overeating, then that has to change.
Yeah.
Like, no, the reason you're overeating is because you're saying yes instead of no. And you get good at dealing with your stress without food. You just get good at sitting there going, yeah, I'm fucking upset. I'm fucking stressed. Like, this day was hard and I'm not eating and I'm going to feel it. And then you're like, all right, do I want to keep living like this? If you don't, then you start working on your relationship with yourself and your ability to handle emotions and stuff. Otherwise, you just keep eating and you keep working on feeling like shit.
Yes, I need to reframe how I talk to myself throughout the day.
Yeah, so thought downloads and models. Thought downloads and models.
I'm an April baby, so I just kind of got there this week. So
yeah, it will be so helpful.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Coaching. Sounds good. Thank you. Well, I know like that. You had said that we could ask about anything, right? So this isn't necessarily about weight loss. Is that cool?
Well, we were just coaching on wanting to be taken care of by a man, so I guess so.
All right, cool. Oh, my God. That last call was – I so related to her. But anyway, so I have been on the road of being an entrepreneur for a while, and I had my own business many years ago when I was younger, and it was like everything just fell in my lap. It was very easy. And now I'm struggling with, like, first of all, I'm an art director, graphic designer, and so I'm wanting to launch this online business about helping entrepreneurs with their online space, you know, like doing all that stuff. And I'm really stuck around, and I feel like, I know this is my freaking brain because it's been going on for too long, you know?
Okay.
And I've been, like, I'm tired of thinking about it. But the thing I'm, like, stuck on is, like, do I market to people who want the work done for them? Or do I market to people who want the work DIY? Or do I do both? Like, it's all getting scrambled. Like,
so why is it so scrambled? Why not just pick one?
Because I guess I'm nervous that it's the wrong one.
Exactly. It's the same reason why people get stuck on like a diet. Like I'm going to go on Pinterest and it's like, I don't know. I'm going to talk to all my girlfriends. Should I be doing keto or Whole30 or Weight Watchers or PNP or what should I do? And we don't do anything. But we sit around thinking we're doing something all the time. And what we're really doing is just wearing ourselves out with indecision.
Oh my God. And teaching my brain how to be indecisive, right? I mean, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, you're teaching your brain that there's a right answer. And if you just keep thinking on it long enough, you'll find the right answer, which is the wrong message. The message is there's these answers and I'm going to pick one. And no matter what I end up picking, I'm still going to want to vomit before I do it. So I might as well just pick one and see if that one works. And I either will have my back and keep going if it's not the right one and on to the next one, or I'll beat myself up and quit and pretend it was the wrong answer.
Yeah.
And we do that with dieting. It's exactly what everybody does. It's like if people would just come into PNP and just immediately shut down all the other stuff and just be like, I'm all in on this. Like, and I'm just going to do it. A lot of it's going to feel like ass and a lot of it's not going to work, but I'm going to keep going. And I'm just going to expect drama to be there. They'd lose a fuck ton of weight. They'd start doing 24-hour plans before they believe in them. Just like you. You would just pick who you're going to serve. And you would just be like, and I don't get to change my mind for 6 months.
I like that.
Make me keep going no matter what. Because if there's no option of there was another, a better choice. If there was no option of quitting, if it doesn't, if I, you know, the second it starts to feel like it's wrong, ooh, I better like change gears. If all that's removed, then you're forced into doing all the shit that you're avoiding now, which is failing, trying things, learning new stuff, it being slower than you want it to be, just like the 24-hour plan, just like the weight loss. I mean, this is exactly why people get stuck and they don't keep going. It's because, like, I don't want to face that it's taking longer than I thought. I don't want to face that today I think my life is chaos, so I'm just going to eat. I don't want to commit to a plan because that would mean I might have to tell somebody no if something better comes along. Same thing with you. It's like if you decide to go in this one direction and something else comes along, you got to say no to it because you're doing this now. Are you willing to do that stuff or not is the question.
Yeah, I mean, I know it doesn't make any sense the way I'm thinking. Like, I feel like, you know, serving more people for and not doing the one-on-one thing will take longer because you have to build that audience instead of just going after one person or whatever. But I've been doing this for so long and nothing's happening anyway. And like, what if I took the pressure off of like this urgency, which there isn't really, you know, and just decided to do what I want to do, regardless of the money or whatever, you know, and what I think the money would be, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what it's going to be really, you know, so.
You can do the math. You can decide how much money you want to make and how much that's going to, like, this is just like when we do weight loss, you just decide this is how much I'm going to want to lose in the next 6 months. You can say, this is how much money I want to make in the next 6 months. That means I'm going to have to charge this much, which means somebody else is going to say, and that's going to be how much I have to, you know, lose every month. And in order to get that done, I have to do these things. Like you're going to need X amount of clients and everything that's going to have to come in order to get those clients. And part of that is going to probably be stuff that gets you out of your comfort zone. I'm going to have to, like, you know, for one client, I'm going to probably have to talk to 50 people and get 49 no's.
Right.
People saying, I don't want your shit. Same thing with weight loss. You know, it's like in order to lose 4 pounds this month, I'm going to have 30 24-hour plans. I'm probably going to have like zero times will I not be able to do a recovery worksheet. I'm going to have to catch myself judging myself and feeling terrible about it and keep going anyway, show up the next day when I'm not used to it. It's all the same. Doesn't matter. I want everybody to see this. We are talking about her ass starting a business and we're talking about you guys losing weight and it is the same shit. Our brains go through the same thing. The only reason why we don't make decisions and we don't start stuff is because we're afraid of something. Most of you are afraid of what you'll say to yourself if you fail. Some of you are just afraid of failing and it's like, yeah, you're going to need to fail. You've got, like, you obviously need to get good at that. That's part of the process.
Right.
Not doing anything is like worse than failing. Mm-hmm. You're not learning anything. You're learning how to sit on the sidelines of life and wish. That's what you're learning. And on the sidelines is a lot of shitty thoughts.
Mm-hmm. True that.
So give yourself a week to decide.
Okay.
By next Sunday, you have to know, like, those options you gave me, I'd give yourself 1 week of misery. Because you'll go through, like, I don't know if it's this, or I don't know if it's that, or blah, blah, blah. Allow yourself to do that. Write about it every day. But be willing to say, like, but on Sunday, the decision will be made. No ifs, ands, or buts. It will allow you to have some bullshit, but it will also do is it will allow you to, through the bullshit, know that the decision's coming and weigh better options for yourself. It'll change the way that the conversation goes on. Right now, because there's no deadline to decide, it's just ambivalence, confusion, and self-doubt always feels better then balls out fear, because now we have to get started.
Yeah, it's like that warm, shitty place.
Yeah, it's like, I'm getting no results. I don't, whatever. But there's like a little bit of joy to be had and been like, yeah, but I'm thinking about it. Like, I'm making plans. I'm doing these things. There's just enough dopamine there to just be like, to feel like you're in the game. And it's like, you ain't even bought a ticket. You're like on the outside of the gate trying to peer in and hope to get a glimpse. You know, it's like, let's just get in there.
Okay, next Sunday.
All right.
All right.
Decisions made. And post it in the Facebook group so we'll all know what it is.
Okay, I will.
Nothing like a little public accountability.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. All right. So Dana couldn't get a signal. She's going to try to get on Wednesday. Yeah, I'm fine with that. Yeah, let's move her to Wednesday. Betsy, when we do this call, why don't we edit out Dana completely and we'll start over with Dana, and that might help. Kay Rickley, were you on the list? If you had signed up for coaching, I've got Laura, Shakina, Brandy, Christina, Christy Jackson, Dory Brandon, Jess Yeager, any of you here, raise your hand and I'll get you. Otherwise, somebody can volunteer or we'll get out of here on this lovely Sunday. It's okay. I think it's Karen, right? Kimberly Samerson. It looks like none of the girls that signed up. All right, Kimberly. All right, y'all just, if you want to get coached, raise your hand. I'm just going to call on people until we get done today. Kimberly Severson, you're up. Tell you what, these girls that say they want to get coached and don't show up, they're fixing to go mama's bad list. All right, what are we coaching on, Kimberly? Oh, I can't hear you. No. Good. I was not going to hit record until I knew. All right.
Right. I was trying to get to my laptop because I've actually never done this on my phone before.
That's okay. You can just use your phone. Just sit down, though, because it makes me dizzy.
I know. Me too. I'm an online therapist. And I'm always like, don't use your phone.
Oh, I don't mind the phone. It's when they're walking around. I'm just like, I get wicked car sick. Like, everybody knows that. It's very rough on me when I ride in a car if I don't drive. And so, like, sometimes when you guys are walking around, I'm just like, oh, God, I feel like I'm in the passenger seat.
Right.
What are we coaching on?
So, this is a surprise, but if I can just start with a side note, I'm in Las Vegas.
Yes.
I just sent you a message about the meetup that you had scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
So, I hope you get that message.
I think Paula's taking care of all of it. It's next Sunday at 10 a.m.
Right. And I usually teach, I'm a certified Daring Way teacher or facilitator, and I teach a Brene Brown class on Sunday mornings, but I want to move it around so that I can meet you and meet other girls and hopefully get support and such. So I was just asking for like time frames and all of
it'll be about 10 to 12 and it'll be at the Delano, and we're gonna just all kind of meet up and have coffee, and we're gonna kind of sit in the bar section.
Okay. So I joined in April, and I have a rebellious spirit, and I look at everyone else's shit all day so that I don't have to look at my own shit. And I
would call that an avoidance spirit.
You're right. Yes. So I have been looking at, I've watched module 1 and 2, and last night watched 3. There is this, this hesitancy, just as you were talking with the last girl about I almost have like an aversion to writing down this 24-hour plan.
Why?
Last night I started doing it. And then I waited it all out because today is like one of the few days I have off. I'll go to the grocery store. Who knows what I'll get? And I didn't want to write down, you know, something concrete.
Why? Because if the highlight of your Sunday is what you're going to eat, we have a problem.
Yes. Yeah. We have lots of problems around that sort of thing. And that's what it has been. And so, Yeah, I don't really. So from April, I've been reading. I've been making like plans in my own head.
All right, they don't count if they're in your head.
Right. And so every time I come to the notebook, I find a whole bunch of reasons why to continue to put it off.
Like what?
And last, yesterday when I was doing the module 3 and the future self worksheets, I was just having such a hard time thinking of that future self, because it's been such a long time since I've sort of engaged in social and personal life. So immediately in my head, I was like, I'm going to take this to my therapist next week and see if she'll walk me through the questions. Which in a sense seems foolish, because I can just do it. Mm-hmm. But there's fear, there's resistance.
What are you so afraid of if you just write from the future self?
Yeah, I'm afraid that I'll get really sad about, you know, so I've been overweight for about 15 years now, and really isolated. Like, I gained a whole bunch of weight all at one time, and then just sort of stopped life. You know, I work, but other than that, I just sit on the couch and watch TV and eat. And so I can feel like what's brewing up is that I have a lot of grieving to do around, my battery's gonna die, around those lost years. You know,
they're not lost.
Yeah.
You don't have to grieve those years. Why are you wanting to grieve years?
Yeah, help me with that, because I think that's right where I go to. It's like, you know, I feel like from 31 to 42, I didn't live. And anytime I start thinking about making a change for my body and personal life, like, I start getting overwhelmed that, like, I missed my 30s.
You didn't miss them. Aren't you alive? If I came and take your pulse, would you be living?
Yes.
Okay. I just want you to see how, like, you didn't miss your 30s.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing to be grieved. They're not dead. You know what your 30s are doing? They're sitting there. They're just sitting there in the past. You know what you're doing right now? You're grieving your future self, because you're so busy about your 30s that you don't care about your 40s. So you're killing your 40s, actively doing that. Your 30s are alive, but your 40s are like, birth me. Like, will you just have me already? Like, I'm just ready for the next best version of me. But you're saying, like, no, we need to spend time appropriately mourning our 30s. But you know what I forgot? I don't like being sad. So now I'm just going to do nothing. Like, all right, you don't like being sad, so quit fucking grieving something that doesn't need to be grieved.
Okay.
So we're just not going to do that anymore. Like, seriously.
Okay, I feel like saying yes, ma'am.
Yeah, no, like, when we get off this call, you're going to want to think about your 30s, and you're going to want to go talk to your therapist about your 30s and how you fucked up your 30s and all this other stuff. And I'm just going to tell you right now that staying on that path that you've been trying to do has kept you eating every Sunday and won't let you create a 24-hour plan.
Yeah, definitely agreed with that.
We know it doesn't work, so now we're going to stop doing that piece. It would just be like if you really want to have beautiful nails, you'd be just like, but I just keep chewing them. And I said, well, quit chewing them. It's like, but I really want pretty nails, and I'm going to chew my nails. It's like, you have to eventually quit chewing the nails.
Right.
You want to have pretty nails.
And I'm certainly in the mode of, I would like to have lost the weight. But my actions don't show that I actually want to lose weight.
No, your actions show that you're diddling with your 30s. Yeah. You still want to lose weight. Your actions, like, you've got actions that say, I totally want to lose weight. You know how I know you want to lose weight? You pay me $59 a month. You showed up on this coaching call. You're still listening to modules. You're thinking about it. You're going to a therapist. you got all the actions in the world that say, I want it. Here's what you don't want to do though. Make a 24-hour plan and not have to be like, oh yeah, I got to eat this today. Today I got to feel sad because I'm not going to get to eat what I want. It's like, oh wait, I forget. This is what I want to eat because I'm the one that made the plan and nobody else did.
Yeah. And I want to get it right. I have, you know, I have that kind of thing. Like I want to get it right. So what do I eat?
So what's right? Like, you don't have a plan for today, right?
No.
All right, let's make it. Get your paper out. And I'm not joking.
It's right here.
We had a K-up recently where somebody said, I said something like that. And she goes, was that like rhetorical? I said, no, like fucking answer my question. It's like, we're really going to talk about it. So yeah, we're going to really do your plan for today. And you're going to commit to it.
Yeah, and that's what I feel like is I need a little hand-holding.
No, you don't need hand-holding. You could do this yesterday. In fact, you did it. You just didn't need to get white out.
Right.
That's the only thing that needed to happen. But I'm going to show you how easy it is to do the plan. In your mind, you think that, like, you're giving up stuff and you got to get it right and all this other stuff. It's like, no. It's a day's worth of food that needs to be written down ahead of time. You're going to get to eat. You even get to put stuff on there you like.
Right. Yeah.
So what time is it where you're at? You're in Vegas?
So it's 11? 10. Yeah. I don't have my
you
watch.
You had breakfast?
Yeah. I did just have breakfast.
And what'd you have? You need to go ahead and write that down.
Right. I had 3 eggs with onions and spinach in it.
All right, we're off to a killer start. What are we having for lunch? Like, realistically.
Yeah.
What did you put on the plan yesterday? I'm just curious.
I didn't put anything for lunch. I just put breakfast.
Okay, that's fine.
Because it is so bad. And I know that my words go right to the negative, but it has been so long since I have eaten regularly, like actual regular meals and not just eating out. Almost sometimes I eat out 3 meals a day. So when I look at this and then when I think, oh, I need to go to the grocery store today, I literally, sometimes I won't have any food in the house except for condiments. So yeah. This morning I actually had eggs and frozen onions and spinach and was like, all right, well, let's start there. And then we'll go to the grocery store.
Okay, so what are we gonna have for lunch after we go to the grocery store?
I mean, normally I would have like mac and cheese. I would definitely buy that at the grocery store and have mac and cheese.
Is there any reason why we're not having it today?
No.
Okay, then if you want mac and cheese, I'd probably write mac and cheese on there.
Okay. And then for dinner, I would imagine that I could eat like a really fun salad to start with because I've adopted, there's so much going on. I don't remember where I hear some of the things, but somebody had posted about salad bar. And so I bought one of those Lazy Susans and made like put my favorite things in there that I like on a salad at like the sweet tomatoes and actually ate salad twice last week. Like, from my house. That was a big deal. So that was certainly on my plan to get more things to buy for the salad bar. So I would imagine I would have a salad.
Okay. Do you want anything else?
Yeah. So, I mean, of course I know I'll want something else. Yeah, but it doesn't even like go through my head. Like, I don't know, maybe it'll be chips and salsa. Maybe it will be.
Okay, you get to have whatever you want, but you got to pick it.
Right.
This is where we're going to start teaching our brain, like, there's no rules here, but we have to quit living in indecision. We have to keep, like, you have to quit leaving the door open.
Yeah.
For your habit brain, who wants to, I feel sad, I need to eat. To talk you into it.
Right. Or no one's going to tell me what I can eat. I switch between, you know, sad and anger.
Yeah, well, and that's what's going to happen tonight. Like, we're going to make this plan. You're going to feel so motivated. And then tonight's going to come and you're going to be like, nobody can tell me what to eat. And then you need to say like, oh yeah, I forgot. That was me telling me what to eat.
Right.
I guess I could always listen to myself.
Yeah. And so if I think about, like, if I just analyze what I currently have in the house and what I do when I go grocery shopping. So on grocery shopping days, I always get myself tortilla chips and a cheese dip. And then I get one of those individual pieces of cake. Cause I don't love sweets, but I do like a little piece of cake every once in a while. So if I just write what my typical behavior is that that's what I would do. Is for lunch, I would have mac and cheese. For dinner, I would make a fun salad and I have a piece of salmon in the freezer. So I could certainly put that next to it. And then for snacks, chips and cheese and a piece of cake will probably be my evening. You know, like that would be a typical evening.
Okay. Then what you do is you put all that on the plan.
Yep, I just did.
Okay. And then what happens is that when it's time to eat any of it, you don't just eat it because it's on the plan. You don't get anything else. But you make a plan before you eat. You get into the habit of listening for all the bullshit that's going to come up.
Oh, boy.
And you eat it anyway. And if you're not hungry for cake, then you don't have the cake. If you're not hungry for the chips and the cheese, you just don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
But you have it on the plan so that if you want it, it's right there. But what we're doing here is we're creating that base level realistic plan that says, I know I could do this. I may have some bitching and moaning that'll come along for the ride because that's what always, like, what my brain likes to do. I've just taught it to bitch and, like this is the thing, even with the realistic plan, the reason why it blows up on a lot of you is because you've taught your brain to complain even when you're getting what you want.
Right. Yeah.
Like, but your brain's like, but that's not even good enough. You know what I'm used to doing? Whatever I want in the moment, even if this is fucking realistic. Like, you have to plan for that moment. And then when that happens, you're supposed to listen to it and then you stay with the plan. But I also want you to, like, before you eat cake and before you eat chips and cheese, I want you to say, is this going to get me where I want today? And if you feel like it won't, and you feel like confident that you can just be like, you know what? This is one of those nights I'm ready to just sit on my couch, watch TV without food and feel sad and deal with the bullshit that I'm thinking of, then today's that day. If this is not the day, then I'm going to sit with this food, but I won't be eating it at the TV tonight. Shifting it around just a little bit.
Yeah. And those are examples of like the 1% or level up, so to speak.
Yeah. So what you're doing here is the first thing you're doing is you are getting confidence in the idea of I'm going to plan and I'm going to start using planning for my advantage, because you need to bring some shit up for yourself. Like, you need to bring the argument up. You need your lower brain to complain. You need it to not want it. You need it to do all those things so you can hear it. Right now, you're shutting it down before you even get, like, to the skill of writing it down. That's the first level up for you, is really just being like, okay, I'm going to argue with my brain that doesn't even want to write it down.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the thing. If you don't write it down, like you said, what I won't want to commit to it. It's like, okay, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't plan anyway. Still just plan and commit to that part first until you get to the point to where you mentally wear yourself out, not following your plans, and you decide to start following your plan some rather than quitting on the plan.
Yeah, and then when you don't follow the plan, you do this ultimate recovery sheet.
You need to do your recovery worksheet. But this is the thing that I want all of you to hear, because I see y'all do this all the time. I don't understand why I'm losing weight. I'm making realistic plans and filling out all my recovery worksheets. It's like, yeah, you're still overeating. you're just getting aware, but you need to like understand what's happening. Like you need to look at it and get very aware of your crap and start changing your crap. Not just like, well, it's okay. It's on my plan. That's why I can overeat. Well, it's okay. I'll do a recovery worksheet. That's not how it works.
Right.
Writing stuff down on a piece of paper doesn't make you lose weight. Not putting food in your mouth is what makes you lose weight. So whatever the paper's telling you is supposed to help you figure out how to quit putting stuff in your mouth that goes against everything you hope and dream for.
Yeah. And that's, it almost feels like that's a whole, the food in my mouth and the learning the two to two. It feels like, you know, like I've never had a meal, sort of. Like, it's been so long since I've been in touch with physical hunger. Mm-hmm. And then also just, I mean, one of my master's degrees is in health. So I have all of those, you know, as I was listening to module 3 with the fat girl thinking and the previous diets, like, I have all of this stuff swirling around in my head, and I almost just don't even know what to do when I go to the grocery store. And so I usually say, fuck it, and chips and dip doesn't go bad. And but yeah, I've got myself so twisted that I've found it hard just to even just open the notebook and write it down.
Yeah, I think what I really want to see you work on is go ahead and make the realistic plans. Get used to, because one of the things that I loved about your plan was that you've kept in some of the stuff like my fuck it foods that you would have done anyway, but you're also like, but you're introducing the salads and stuff. The more you start, like, I promise you, if you will start writing your plans down and you are super realistic and you include some stuff in it that makes you feel good about yourself, like, you know, I've tried this salad bar thing and that seems very doable for me. And I'm trying this and that seems very doable for me. The importance of the chips and the importance of the cake will start going away because you're using that to cope and soothe, and it's not coping and soothing. Otherwise, right. You wouldn't be wanting to end that behavior.
Right, yeah.
All it's doing,
well, it's beginning to betray you at 45.
Yeah, all it's doing, you know, is creating 20. A lot of chaos and stress and denial of all of your dreams. It's all it's doing. And eventually what happens is when you're eating these salads and you're choosing them and you're doing them and stuff and you start feeling a little better, they become way less important because you start feeling better because you're doing things for yourself. But you have got to quit thinking about the last 10 years. And I want you to, like, for the future self stuff with the letter, don't think about the version of you that's lost all of her weight. I want you to think about the version of you in about 2 weeks.
Okay. Yeah, because the version of me when I've lost all my weight takes me back to before the 30s, and then I start reminiscing about who I was, and I've destroyed my body so much I won't get back there. I mean, the negative talk, like, I mean, I'm a therapist, so I, like, yeah, that kind of makes it worse that I know the ruminations flowing around in my head. And I could help you, but helping myself has definitely proven to be my most difficult life task.
I think you're going to have to just do more writing. Like, this is the thing. The thoughts, when they get down on paper, they become very concrete. Mm-hmm. You can look at them. Also, your brain thinks it's done something with them. When it's swirling around in your head, your brain thinks this is all the stuff I need to keep thinking because we haven't done anything with it. We haven't done anything with it. We need to keep creating evidence for it. Like, it doesn't know what to do with unmanaged thoughts other than keep them swirling.
Yeah.
Until you do something with them. And when you unload them on paper day after day, your brain is like, oh, thank God we've done something with them. The key is when you unload them on the paper, guys, you can't judge them. You can't be like, look how fucking messed up I am. Oh my God, no wonder I'm a piece of shit. That does not help. We unload them on the piece of paper and we tell ourselves, good job. Not many people are willing to look at what they think about. And I can, like, not have to think about this all day long because I have it someplace. If I really want to think about it, I'll get out my notebook and I'll read.
Yeah, I get it.
It's very cleansing. Like before you even do your models, before you get into all that stuff, if you just get into the habit of unloading, a lot of you will be shocked at how much traction you make at just writing the stuff down and seeing like, oh my gosh, this is a lot of story. I forgot how few facts I actually have in my life. It's just like our first caller with all the chaos and, you know, the chaos of third graders and the chaos of the evening and stuff. It's like, watch for how you're describing your life. Getting to the point to where you can describe your life is just like, for you, how old are you? 40 what?
45.
You're my age. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, we've lived 45 years. There's our fact.
Right. There's the fact.
There's that. You know, could be, you know, like the way I could describe, like I could describe my 20s as a hot fucking mess. Or I can describe it as it's my 20s.
Right.
Got through that one. You could be like, that's my 30s. Got through that one.
Yeah. Can you remind me what lesson goes with what thought download / model pages are?
4. Go to module 4.
Oh, okay. So I haven't gotten to that yet. Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead and just turbo listen through module 4. Like, don't even do the worksheets yet. Just listen to all of it first. This is something that for all of my noobs, one of the things that I would do is a lot of times the way I like to do things is I like to just listen to it all for a pass. And then I go back and then I listen to them one at a time and do the worksheets that go along with it. Because then you kind of like the first time you're listening, you're kind of just getting the overview of the concept. The second time you're listening, you're actually hearing more of it and you're applying it. I just think it's helpful for all of you who want to just do it a little bit more of a bonus way. That's the way I would like to. That's the way I do things. Y'all always wonder how I learn so much shit. It's because I'll read a book, but I will listen to it first and then I'll read it and take notes. Or like this particular book has worksheets in it. I read the book, then I go back and I do the worksheets and then I like know a lot of it.
Excellent. Thank you. I think that this certainly wasn't anything I had planned today, but either was the bike ride I went on and either was,
eggs and spinach.
I've put my eating. Well, no, I love spinach. I'll eat that at every meal, but I put my Fitbit on last night. I went for a bike ride this morning. I raised my hand here and I'm just going to sit with those things today.
Yeah, I would. I would just.
And those are three things I haven't done for years.
Yeah. So you proved yourself. You do want it. Because earlier you said, obviously I don't. It's like, obviously you do.
Right. Right. Okay. Well, thank you. And I'll see you next Sunday.
All right. See you then. Bye.
Bye.
I'm going to take one more and then we'll get out of here. Y'all, I could just coach all day. I swear to God. Let's see. Kimberly, I think you were the one whose mic wasn't working.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, I figured it out. I'm an April baby, so this is new.
Hello, April baby.
So I didn't plan to be on here today, but I was just thought downloading about this, which was my first time ever doing that. And I've been doing great. I joined as a groupie in January and started as a tribe member in April, and I've lost 14 pounds so far, which is huge for me since having kids. I didn't think I was ever going to lose that baby weight. So I'm doing great most of the time. It's just I have recently been diagnosed with PMDD, so premenstrual dysphoric disorder. So I get really, really intense PMS. And it seems like everything goes out the window when I have that.
What happens?
I have two little kids. One is 2.5, and he has tantrums pretty much all day long. And we're working on that. So it's a lot of stress. It's a lot of like screaming. And it's not like I could just go take a walk or go journal. It's like they're here until bedtime. And most of the time I manage that pretty well. But when I feel like when I have PMS, I'm just so much more irritable. And, you know, at the end of the day, I feel like I've been white knuckling all day just to like not.
Nope, she froze up.
Oh, did I cut out?
Yeah, you said you feel like you were white knuckling all day.
Yeah, when I have PMS, it becomes so much harder. And at the end of the day, I just want to drink a bunch of wine and, you know, veg out. And then I end up snacking late night. So I'm just wondering, when I do feel this like added stress for PMS, you know, when I do have PMS, how do I focus my energy and maintain the, you know, the level of commitment I have to the program the rest of the month? Are there...
Well, one of them is going to, the first thing is going to have to just be like knowing that during that time of the month, mm-hmm. it'll take extra commitment. Mm-hmm. Probably not going to feel amazing.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Are you okay with it not feeling amazing is the first thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I care so much and every day, you know, I'm like, oh, maybe I should go to McDonald's because I had a hard morning. But if I don't have PMS, I'm like, no, you wrote your plan, stick to your plan. And that seems so easy.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every other day, except for these like 2 days right before my period where I'm just like, I don't care. I can't.
Do you plan on those days being harder and being like extra committed and stuff?
I don't think so. I think I'm just becoming aware of that now that I've been doing this journaling and, you know, really writing everything down. So maybe that's the key there.
One is like understanding, like these are the 2 days mm-hmm. that this is the shit I'll say to myself
mm-hmm.
and setting yourself up for success. You know, like that's not the days that you clean the house.
Mm-hmm.
Like really understanding, like, are there any areas where I can like, just, you know, like if all I do on PMS days is stay out of McDonald's and listen mm-hmm. to my kid cry. Good. Like all the dishes go to hell, everything in the house, like there will be no added anything on those days. That's a technique, but it's mm-hmm. gonna all start with the relationship you have with your PMS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been interesting listening to the other callers talk about how they're describing their life, because I think I do that too, you know, especially with my son, like he tantrums all the time and it's like, well, he doesn't all the time, but, mm-hmm. So I think I have to do another thought download about that and how I'm describing my life.
Yeah. I really think it's important though, with this PMS, like there's this idea of the relationship you have with things. Like PMS is your circumstance
mm-hmm.
in your brain. It's, but I have a condition.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you?
What was that?
Do you?
Do I have a condition?
Yeah, like tell me your thoughts about, you said it was called what,
PMDD. So it's just extreme PMS. And I actually just started taking medication for it, but it's going to take a couple months to kick in fully.
So what do you want to believe about having that? Rather than, because I'm going to tell you right now, calling it extreme
mm-hmm.
will never help you have a good relationship with it.
Mm-hmm.
It may have like symptoms out the wahoo.
Right.
But it would be like saying, yeah, but Logan, he's got that extreme autism.
Right. Yeah, you know, and I say that about my son too. You know, he tantrums so much more than other kids do at his age.
Yeah, it's the way we describe things. And we always, it's so funny because it's tricky. It's like, I got that diet mentality. Mm-hmm. I got that, you know, whatever it is. If we describe things in ways that make us feel like shit, that's how we know it's not a circumstance anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if it really was just, I've been diagnosed with
PMDD, so premenstrual dysphoric disorder.
Okay, PMDD. I wonder if I've got that. Like, I'm on mine right now, and I swear to God, I need, like, 4 diapers. I'm like your toddler. I want to have, like, I'll probably get off here and have a tantrum, actually.
Yeah, well, that's how I, you know, that's what I get. Too as well. It's just like just every emotion feels that much more heightened, which, you know, it's like probably, that for everybody.
Like, this is the thing. I want you to think, it might be, but do I want to eat over it or not?
Mm-hmm.
So is it going to help me? Like, what is going to be the way that I need to think about PPMDD, and it allow me either patience?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you just like little stress.
Yeah.
Some anxiety, whatever it is, like you need to figure out what it is that you can start thinking about it and describing it so that you're not working yourself up to, I'm really good all month, but those 2 days are a whammy. Those 2 days are this, that, and the other. It's how you're describing it all. That's mm-hmm. what's not working for you. Because then what happens is the second you have hormones and the second anything happens, it sends in the message to your brain that everything you've been telling yourself is true. Mm-hmm. And that's why you should eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. So is that just a matter of continuing to do the models and, you know, is it like, how do you get your brain to not start thinking those things?
You have to not think those things ahead of time. So like today, when you're not in the middle of your period or getting ready for your period and everything, like when your best self is thinking about it, mm-hmm. your best self creates the story that you want to believe, because that's okay. the story that's actually true. Mm-hmm. The higher self, the best self, the one that's like telling the story outside of it, it needs to be the one in charge of it. Mm-hmm. And so you need to be thinking about this, like, okay, if for the rest of my life, I'm going to have it and I don't want to be overeating through it and I don't want to be losing my shit and all this other kind of stuff, then how do I need to start thinking about it ahead of time? Mm-hmm. What kind of like relationship do I need to establish with it? Part of it's going to be like, for me, I'll just use myself an example. For me, I know that I am so moody and weepy the day before I start my period. It is mm-hmm. like, I could just look at something and cry. Mm-hmm. Like, anything.
Right.
And I have compassion with myself before it. Mm-hmm. Rather than working myself up into a tizzy about it. Like my thing is like, I'm probably going to act the same way, but I want to be understanding about it and not resisting it. And I think you're resisting it because like, but that's why I eat and right. I'm so out of control and I'm so this. And it's like, what if it's like, and this is the time of month where it's the cravings are harder to manage and that's okay. Like I'm understanding about it. I know they're coming and that's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And every month I'm going to learn more. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm going to cry and sometimes I'm going to yell and sometimes I'm going to be just like that kid that I keep describing that has tantrums all the time. On those days, it's probably going to feel like the cravings are there all day. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm going to have to practice just letting them be there and it be very anxious feeling that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's what I don't have a lot of experience with because I've been making realistic plans and it's been so easy to stick to them. And so I think it's really jarring for me when I get to this point hormonally where it's suddenly not easy to stick to them. And then it's a lot of like negative self-talk.
Yeah. And it's cutting the negative. I will tell you, if you can just get to where you just feel anxious and you just feel cravings and you just want things and you cut the judgment out, mm-hmm. it's a lot easier to get through that day. Mm-hmm. Your brain has figured out the way to get you to just eat is to judge you. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah. Let's just like put some shitty ass judgment on top of it. And that'll get her to the, you know, McDonald's.
Right. And into the wine bottle.
Or the wine bottle. Yeah. I forgot. You're the wine. Somebody else was McDonald's and like your wine, but yeah, it's the same thing. It's like, I was actually talking to, the girl that I coach with. And I'm about to like almost choked myself. I was telling her that I realized something that was really not helping me in terms of like I still work on wine. Like I plan it, but I still don't like, there's just something about the relationship with it that I'm not in love with. Otherwise I wouldn't want to be always working on it. You know, that's how you know something's going on. Right. And I told her, I said, I think I figured it out. I keep saying the reason why I'm wanting to have wine with Chris is because we connect and stuff. And I was like, that's not helping me. Like, I've got to quit telling that story. You know the reason why I'm having wine with Chris? And she was like, wine. I said, because I'm saying yes to wine. It just like hit me like a ton of bricks. Like that piece felt so real. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, this is the explanation. Just like for you, the reason why I'm eating is because of my PMS. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to call it PMS because I keep jacking your word.
Right, that's fine.
Just insert whatever it was. But when you keep saying, like, the reason why these days are harder and the reason why I'm eating is because of this. It's like, no, it still is because on those days you have an urge to eat and you're doing it.
But, yeah.
That's really what's going on. And thinking that it's that slows you down on your goals. It's like, deal with how you think about it and deal with all of that. But also just remember, it's like, you know what? I'm still just responding to urges. And that's when you freaked out. It's like, this is the time of month that'll be a little harder. But this is where my practice is. Because if I can say no on these 2 days, the rest of the month's going to be cake.
Right. Yeah. So just entirely reframing it that way. That makes a lot of sense. All right. I will try that for next month.
It just sounds so crazy. And I can't even believe that I just stumbled upon my own bullshit. I was just like, I've got to quit thinking that I'm doing this like for some grandiose reason. And this was after the fact. That wasn't even like the chatter before.
Right.
Like I reconciled it after, just like we're doing now. Mm-hmm. We're reconciling after the fact that, oh, this is why we want the wine, because, you know, it's harder. And like, for me, it's like, oh, it's all about connection and I got to figure out how to connect differently and stuff. It's like, no, I got to quit blaming it on that.
Right.
Because until I own that piece, I'll never move out of it.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that, because I've done a couple recovery worksheets about having wine that I didn't intend to have. And the thing I'm telling myself is that, you know, it makes me feel like comforted at the end of a long day after being with my kids. Or, you know, it feels nurturing. It feels like self-care, which, you know, the next morning I'm disappointed in myself for having done that. But yeah. I think
that's where it's so important to always understand that when you give in to an urge, it's never coping and it's never comforting. Otherwise, you wouldn't want to give it up. Mm-hmm. That would be like saying, I've got this best friend. She's the best person ever, but I've got to give her up.
Right.
I mean, she loves me. She calls and checks on me. She does things with me. She writes me letters, but I really need to give her up. Mm-hmm. We don't, when it's true coping and true comforting,
right,
not looking to give it up. And the reason why is because what we need to be saying is that when I drink, here's what happens. I get all these unintended consequences of not liking myself the next day, not getting closer to my dreams, not being able to learn how to say no in the moment. That's really all that's happening. And I know that sounds like that's all it takes. It's like, it literally takes that, because if you always keep mingling it with it's comforting and it's this things, then when you need that, your brain will want the wine more. Mm-hmm. You're building some weird connection that's not there.
Right, right.
And every time you give into it, your brain knows, just tell her she'll feel better. Just tell her it's the friend in the night.
Right. That's exactly what I do. Yeah. So that is what I will work on this week. All right. Gives me a lot of stuff to think about.
Good deal. Well, thank you for getting on this call.
All right. All right.
Bye.
Have a good one.
All right. Okay, guys, I will see everybody for the self-love member makeover tomorrow night. So we'll be coaching on self-love topics. I cannot wait. I love the concept of self-love. I just think that everything that I've been researching lately all goes back to the idea of, like, when we have our own back, when we actually value ourselves and know how important we are internally, just makes all this other stuff so much easier. It's like, you don't need to rely on all these other things. You know that you can handle things. So keep doing the journal prompts and all that kind of stuff, guys. I just promise you, self-love is some of the best work you'll ever do on yourself. And it ties in really well with the newbies who did future self stuff last week. Future self is another version of loving yourself. And I'm just excited for all the things we're learning right now. I just feel like we're all growing as a little tribe, emotionally and mentally. Y'all have a good one. Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.